Welcome to Super Tathis for Parshas Miketz. We will begin with, one of the Hashlomos from last week is that I mentioned the famous story about the question of when Yosef says, remember me twice, fundamentally, that there was a question of how many years in the jail did he spend for each statement. And I left out the parties. So the parties go as follows. It was Rav Chaim Brisker asked Rav Shimon Shkup the question. So on the Medrash, it sounds like it was, you know, two words, one for each word. And that was what Rav Shimon Shkup responded. He said for one, he got a year, and the next one, he got a year. And Rav Chaim said, no, that's not true. If he had said just one, he wouldn't have been punished at all because we have a chiyuv, we have an obligation for hishtadlus. But that is not the case with respect to when we go beyond that. Says he had a pgam in his bitachon when he said it a second time. Okay, so there is a story I have now from Rav Yaakov Galinsky, that when he was visiting in a hospital, one morning he noticed all of a sudden there was a big gathering around his bed. There were all these doctors, many of them, they were doing all kinds of things. They were very, very busy. And one of the head of the department, he said, Rav Galinsky, we brought the best of the experts to give you advice here. And he asked, he said, did you ask for Professor Ne'eman? They said, Professor Ne'eman? They were quiet. They didn't know who he was. Who's this Professor Ne'eman you're asking for? And what's his level of expertise? They were all kind of a little bit surprised and shocked. And he said, three times a day in Tefillah Shmona Esrei, I turn to Kadosh Baruch Hu and I say, Ki Kel Melech Rofei Ne'eman V'Rachman Ata. You are a Rofei Ne'eman. You are the trustworthy, the trusted, trustable doctor. And if so, if he's here, then everybody is here. But if he's not here, then there is really nothing here. The next story I have in the lines of more stories about Bitachon, there's a very interesting story about the Mashgiach Panovich, Rav Chatzko Levenstein. And there was one day he was sitting at his table. He was very noticeably smiling. So one of the Bachrim in the yeshiva said, Rebbe, do you mind telling me what's so special today? And he responded as follows. He said, look, the truth is, when I was Mashgiach in Yeshivas Mir, all the way, back in Europe, when I was there, there was a lot of financial hardship. And because of that financial hardship, unfortunately, they weren't really able to give the Rabbonim the sorts of salaries that made them kind of live berevach. So during that time, it was an opportunity for me to strengthen myself in Bitachon. And that's what I did. I really reached very strong madrigos in Bitachon. And as funny as it sounds, when I moved to Eretz Yisrael and I was a Mashgiach in Panovich, here they had a little bit more resources and they were able to take care of our finances a little bit better. But the problem is that it created a little bit more weakness for me in my bitachon. So now, finally, after 8 months, I've been getting salary from the yeshiva, but now there are some expenses that have come up, some significant expenses, and therefore I can work on that bitachon again. And it's HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I can feel and work on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I need to daven every day that you will make my needs being taken care of. I want to do the Tzedal HaDerech, the thinking question first, because I've missed it a couple of times of recent. Everybody knows that what had happened was that they found enough oil for one day, and it lasted for 8 days, and that's a nes that occurred on Hanukkah. So the question is, why do we celebrate for 8 days? Because there was only 7 days of nes, as it seems. So the question that shows up, I saw in the Chidush HaRim, which I think is a wonderful question, is, don't we have a story from the Gemara about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, about a similar magic, about something miraculously lighting, even in an instance where it didn't really seem like it should light? Is that not the story about Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa and his daughter, and the daughter accidentally, you know, filled the candle with vinegar, and that vinegar obviously isn't so flammable. So Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa said, don't worry about this, a Kadosh Baruch Hu could do a nes. We'll just daven, the one who makes oil light should make vinegar light, no problem. And indeed, that's what happened. So the question is, there's another story about Rabbi Pinchas ben Yor as well, where he basically was gozer that a river or a sea that he was passing would split. So does that not sound like Kriyas Yamsuf? So how is it that when holidays were established, that holidays were established for Yitzias Mitzrayim and for Nes Chanukah, but with respect to these stories that happened to these Tanaim, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair and Rabbi Chanina ben Dosa, those stories may be part of our collective memory, but they're not celebrated in the same sort of way. So that's the thinking question. On that, let's do a Dvar Torah on the question from Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef I saw brought down in the name of Chaim Brim, in the name of the Rav Alter of Kelm, that the answer to the Beis Yosef's kasha is that there are really 8 days of miracles. The first day of miracle, or the first miracle that needs to be counted along with the 7 days of the oil, is the fact that we have a system of nature to begin with. Think about the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo, where he says, from the big Nisim, we learn the small Nisim. And we learn really that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is Mashgiach in such a detailed manner, with such great attention to all of the contours of everybody's lives, with such extraordinary exactitude, that occasionally we could forget or not notice the fact that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is doing this all with all b'midu v'mishko mechuvon. But the truth is that the fact that I can lift my hand, Kadosh Baruch Hu made a system that I lift my hand, or that the sun rises in the morning, or perhaps the fact that oil is flammable, is something that a Kadosh Baruch Hu wills into existence on a constant basis. So in fact, that hakara, the recognition that occurs for the not-so-obvious miracle, the one that we've become accustomed to, is in fact a great recognition in and of itself. On to the Divrei Torah, let's move to the Alshech. And he has a piece about Yosef being 30 when he stood in front of Paro, Melech Mitzrayim, and ended up his rise to greatness there. So a person normally thinks that all of their efforts and certain things are causal to their greatness, their hishtadlus, or their wisdom, or maybe it's a very good mazel. And the reason why the Pasuk, according to the Alshech, mentions that Yosef, when he was Ola L'Gedula, when he was raised up to greatness, as it were, you would have thought that it was because of his extreme hishtadlus, asking the Sar HaMashkim to mention him in front of Paro. He answered the dreams with such wisdom. Also, he had great mazel, that all of this stuff kind of came together, as it were. So that's why the Torah specifically mentions that he was 30 years old when he stood in front of Paro, because if it were not for his reliance on the hishtadlus, he would have done it when he was 28. But he needed to spend an extra 2 years in that jail because of what he had done. And this also is evidence in a certain way that we have a chiyuv to do hishtadlus, but that chiyuv of hishtadlus is the way that the Ramchal says it, is a tax. It's something which is absolutely obligatory and necessary, but we should never believe that tax is really what's going to pay our bills, as it were. Rather, it's a Kodesh Baruch Hu in all instances. Okay, so next, the Yosef Hu Ashali. This is from the Shlo. The Shlo has a very interesting point. It says, look, the Navi says in Yeshayahu, Kilo Machshavosai Machshavoseichem. We know that from the Haftorah for the public fast days. It says, look, this is such Hevel Havalim. When you think about it, a person thinks something's good for them, and in truth, it's bad. And same thing, too. A person will think something's really, really terrible for them and turns out to be the best thing in the world. Look at what the Shvatim thought. They were going to sell Yosef to be an Eved, and he would be an Eved, and he would be lost from all memory and whatnot. And this was specifically the reason why he became so well-known. That's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, Tamim tiyeh me'Hashem Elokecha, be pure with Hashem, and be mevatel, nullify your will to Kadosh Baruch Hu's will, because fundamentally, we don't really know what's good or bad for us. This is one of the keys to understanding generally how bitachon is supposed to work, is that when people feel that something is bad for them, and they're really, really, really hoping, really, really davening, really, really needing, as it were, Kadosh Baruch Hu to make a certain outcome, there's a little bit of hubris involved in that. There's a little bit of saying to yourself, you know, who's driving this truck? Who's running this show? I know better than the Ribbono Shel Olam. And that fundamentally is a fool's errand. That's not something we should be involved in. And it's certainly not something which yields any material truth. Because at the end of the day, what occurs is a Kadosh Baruch Hu knows what's good. He knows what's right. He's got a plan. And he is a master artist. And we are just soldiers. And we should just try our very best to remember that HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows better. Okay, next one. Right at the end of the Sidra, Vish'alehem l'shalom, v'yomer ha'shalom avichem hazokim asher amartam odenu chai. So you could ask, this is the Or HaChaim asks this question. It says, look, wouldn't it have been better, first, wouldn't it have been better just to ask about their father? Really, the brothers are right in front of his eyes. There's really no reason to ask about how the brother's doing. He sees them, right? And you can see also that he doesn't really wait to ask for their answer of how they're doing. Rather, he just keeps to ask how your father's doing. He says, look, this is a concept of Derech Eretz. Now, the question whether it's Derech Eretz to wait for them to answer first is another interesting discussion. He says, when this Shiloh is asked, what's happening is, it wasn't really a Shiloh, but the Musser and the Midos is that you always are supposed to ask about a person, the person that's right in front of them, because you don't want them to think that you don't care about how they're doing, right? So even though I'm asking about how your father is and not you, because I see you and you seem fine and everything, I should ask, how are you doing? Because I want you to retain a level of personhood. I want you to know that you are not just the vehicle which provides me with the answer to what I'm looking for, but rather instead, I care about you. I know you're here. I acknowledge your presence and I acknowledge your significance. So I think that one of the things that I've said many times in my life, and that I'm probably not 100% right, but somewhat right about, is that manners are for people who you don't care about. Meaning to say, like, the people out in the outside world, outside of my Dalet Amos, I have to be extraordinarily charming to, but the people who are super close to me, like maybe my wife and my children, don't need the same sort of level of formality. It's interesting here because we're seeing a Musar kind of cutting in the other way, is that everybody needs a certain level of formality. Everybody needs a certain level of acknowledgement. Everybody needs a certain level of midos shown to them, because even if they know you, this instance it wasn't the case, but even they know you and you know them, you need to make outward expressions that they are significant in your eyes. Thank you and have a wonderful Shabbos.